Kevin Kelly is one of the founders of Wired Magazine. For the past two decades, he's been a kind of roving philosopher of technology, someone who asks the biggest questions about our technological future. Now he's written a provocative book called What Technology Wants. Kelly says the sum total of all our technology, what he calls the technium, is taking on the properties of life itself.
Technology is not just the hardware and gadgets in our pocket. It's basically anything that our mind produces, and that would include things that we might normally think of as sort of cultural artifacts, you know, a movie, a symphony, a law, a calendar, all those kinds of intangible things, as well as the hard, cold things of steam engines and railways. All this stuff that our mind produces, that large output of our collective mind, is an extension and an acceleration of the evolutionary forces that produced life. It just keeps going. Technology, or the technium, is producing things that the organic tissues themselves could not produce.
Let's play out some of the evolution, if you will, the connections between the evolution of living organisms and the evolution of technology. Can you summarize for us the key stages in human evolution? What really makes a difference in our development?
You know, as primates, we settled throughout Africa. And I think the major transition, the first transition in the creation of ourselves, in which we kind of created our own humanity, was the invention of language. After the invention of language, we completely transformed our species. We had a population explosion. We kind of spread out throughout the world. We settled across the globe, expanding at the rate of 1 mile per year. And then we immediately began killing off most of the megafauna. And as we began to get into agriculture, we began to affect, actually, for the first time, the climate of the planet. We invented things like cooking, which is kind of like an external stomach, that changed our diet and nutrition and actually changed our physical bodies. Our jaws became smaller. We had different kind of teeth. So we have been changing ourselves. We've been remaking ourselves. And in a certain sense, like, we are the first animals that we domesticated. So you have to think of ourselves as self-made in some senses. In that sense, we are both technology and the makers of technology. We are both the agents of change and the thing that have been changed.
And again, it's fascinating to look at it, isn't it? You don't think of language as being that essential, although up until that point, there was the ability to make tools, but the development of tools didn't proceed at any great pace.
Indeed, you know, chimps use tools and some birds use little straws to get things out. Tool use itself is not a human invention, but I think, you know, there's some controversy about Neanderthal and its relationship to sapiens. And one of the big unknowns is whether Neanderthal had the full use of language as we know it. I suspect not. But it's true that the Neanderthal actually made hand tools. However, the thing about Neanderthal hand tools is that no matter where they were basically always the same tool. The difference with the sapien use of tools was almost from the beginning when language came along, we began to have specialized tools. We had the scrapers and cutters and spear points. And so what I see the technium doing is accelerating the pace of evolution through life.
So you think we should think of technology basically as an extension of ourselves, not of our body, maybe, of our genes, but of our minds?
Yes, it's an extension of our life itself.
An extension of biological evolution.
Yes, exactly. The extension and acceleration of evolution. What technology is doing is increasing the ways in which this system can evolve. And as we look into the future, we're going to find out and discover or make or create even more ways to evolve or learn.
I think this frightens a lot of people, and I think I can understand why, in a way. It may be why we have always viewed technology as something that only exists outside ourselves. I mean, we
yes.
invented it, right?
Right.
It can only do what we tell it
right.
to do.
Right.
Is
yes.
that wrong? I mean, we cling to that.
Yes. If you begin to view this thing that we have made as to having some of its own autonomy, and again, autonomy is not binary. It's not like they are not there. It's a continuum. And once we give it some autonomy, it means, oh my gosh, it may do something that we haven't intended it to do. And that is scary. That is scary.
The technium, as you've described it, do you see it as developing some kind of universal mind that goes beyond technologies and humans, for that matter? Will it take on some of the qualities that we sometimes associate with God?
I did a calculation of the number of transistors in all the computers in the world that are connected to the internet. If you sum up all the transistors in the 2 billion computers and the data servers and everything else that's connected to the internet right now, and to imagine that all of them made sort of one large brain, that the number of transistors is approximately the same number of neurons in a human brain. And if you count up all the number of links on the web, that the number of web links is approximately the number of synapses in our human brain, which suggests in a certain sense that the complexity of the internet as a whole is approximately the same level of complexity of our brains. I don't think it's as smart or aware or intelligent, but it certainly seems to be going in that direction. So right now, no, there's no mind there, but we've made a kind of planetary something or other that is a force in the world. Whether it's conscious or not, it has its own agenda and biases.
That's Kevin Kelly, one of the founders of Wired magazine. His book is called What Technology Wants.